express your love and try to emulate your Son. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, so the study is Philippians, and Mark went into last week. He went back into Acts, spent most of the time in Acts, because this was on the second missionary journey that Paul goes to Philippi on the second missionary journey. And he talked about the many miles that he would have had to have actually walked. To give another idea about the miles that Paul would have walked, it would be like walking from New York to Los Angeles and back four times. Walking from New York City to Los Angeles, California, and back four times. That puts it into perspective. That's the length of the missionary journeys, so the scholars say. That's taking into all the three missionary journeys. Estimated is anywhere from, there's different numbers, anywhere from 15,000 to 20,000 miles. A lot of walking, right? Does anyone know how far the average person can walk in a day? The average person. We're not talking about the super athlete. The average person, what do they walk in a day?
5 to 6 miles.
Yeah, 5 to 6 miles. That's what you average walk. But you can walk if you so want to. The average person can walk about 15 miles. Now again, if you condition yourself, you can even increase it on up to about 20. But that's, for most people, that's about the limit. So it took a long time from him to get to point A and point B. And we're talking about walking out on a place, so it had been a lot more difficult in that day and the terrain that he had to navigate. That's just the walking. And Mark was getting that point across, the sacrifice that Paul made on his journeys. He did spend some time on ship, because he talks about the shipwreck. He did talk about that, how that, you know, Paul had went to Galatia, first missionary journey, and so he wants to head back that way, but he's prevented. So he decided, hey, he's just going to go the opposite way. So he's going to head north from south. He's coming from the east, and so he decides he's going to go to Bithynia in that area, Bithynia, I mean, and he's prevented by the Holy Spirit. So that only leaves one way to go. And that's to go west. So he went as far as Troas, and the next thing, there's water. And on the other side of it's what we now call Europe. And so he sits there at Troas. What happens to him in Troas? Why is there in Troas? Remember, he sees the dream. He sees the vision about going to Macedonia, the Macedonian call. You know the song? We've heard the Macedonian call today, send a light. And that was what Paul, he saw in that vision, a man from the Macedonian area. And so that's, he had to wait. He waited quite a while. So sometimes, you know, just imagine what we read about Paul, and we really get an idea, here's a go-getter, right? Here's a guy that's really wanting to get somewhere. And so God is saying, wait, I'm in control. God says, I'm running this show. Not you, Paul. You're not running the show. I'm running it. You wanted to go here? No. You wanted to go there? No. You want to go this way now? Just not right now. Wait. Wait. And so he did. And God sends a vision. And so now he goes into Europe. And he goes into goes to Philippi. And as Mark said, he runs into Lydia, that's a seller of purple, right? And so she's down, and they're praying, and there becomes the beginning of the church. And then he talked about the Philippian jailer and those of the Praetorian Guard, meaning of the Romans. And so they're affected by this movement, by this, what God, glorifying God, and that Paul is now answering the Macedonian call. So now Paul is in prison. There's debates on whether he's at Ephesus or, but he's in prison, or whether he's at Rome, but he's in prison or jailed. And so he writes these letters. He writes a letter, and so if there was a letter that I think that if we wanted to pick one up, pull one out and say, hey, I want this letter, I want it to apply it to me, I believe we would probably select the letter from Philippi. I think that's where we'd want to put ourselves in. It's a very complimentary letter as it begins and as it ends. There's a little things that he deals with in the middle of it, or in that the beginning, in the middle of it, that is an encouragement. But what I want us to understand is that different people need different letters, and just because this seems a very positive letter, in which it is a very positive letter, that does not mean that Paul loved these people any more than he did the other ones. It means it was a different discussion. And this discussion here is very, again, that's the one that we want to hear. We want to hear this letter. We want it because it shows that we're in line with the expectations that Paul had put before them, which come from the Word of God. And they've answered that for the most part, and that's what we'll see in this letter. But again, positive, we have different things. Doesn't say that he loves them more. And sometimes we kind of want to assign that. And we don't need to assign that. Take my two boys. I can talk about Mark since he's not here tonight. So my oldest son, Matthew, he was one of those that he was just, when he come to schoolwork, doing the schoolwork, he was on autopilot. Homework. Never had to ask him if he got his homework done. Mark? Not so much. Not so much. Mark, did you get your homework? But that does not mean that I love Mark less and Matthew more. It means it's a different conversation. So look at Galatians for a moment. Let's look over here at Galatians. So Galatians is one of those letters that we really wouldn't want to be that letter, but that may be what we need. So look at Galatians chapter 1. So if you look at Galatians chapter 1, the very first few verses is very similar that of the Philippians, the salutation, the salute. Says Paul, an apostle. Verse 2, it says, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of the God our Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. Got it? Okay, now flip over to Philippians. We'll flip back and forth here just for a moment. All right, here we go. Paul and Timothy, Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Flip back to Galatians. Verse 6. Paul says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven have preached to you a gospel contrary to that which you have preached to you, he is to be accursed. And as we said before, so I say now again, if a man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed. Again, verse 6, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him. Now I look back over to Philippians. Look at verse 6, or verse 5. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that he loved the Philippians more. It's a different letter. So what did they have going on in Galatia? False teaching, right? False teaching. So the instruction for the Galatians, that was the import of that letter. And sometimes I think that we, because we aren't Greek scholars and we don't have the Greek before us, or at least I'm not a Greek scholar, you may be a Greek scholar, that we lose something in the translation, and sometimes we want to assign things that shouldn't be assigned. That maybe it sounds really harsher than what the intent was. Because we're even going to see something in Philippians that we might take it as, well, could he not have said that a little better way? But another way to look at it is kind of like any football coach. The football players, they play the game, right? They're out there, they're playing the game. So what do they do the next day? What do they do Monday, actually? They play on Saturday. What do they do on Monday?
They review footage.
And what do they see up there on the screen? When they look at there and they're watching, what do they see? Do what? They see the good and the bad, right? They see everything. And it's that plain. Why? Why did they do it? Is the coach wanting to demoralize all of his players? So everybody can learn from that one mistake. So through repetition. And so that's what we see in these letters. We see in these letters not Paul assigning more love one versus the other, but a different game being played and a different view of what they needed to address. And so that's what we see in the Philippian letters and each of the addresses. Now, were there some of them that had more problems than the others? Yes. And that's why I say that if we wanted one written to us, if we was to emulate one of the letters sent to us, we would want to be that Philippians, because they were doing a lot of things right. But they were not doing everything right. You know why? They're like me and you. They're humans. They make mistakes. They're not going to be perfect. And we shouldn't look at them expecting them to be perfect, because we're not perfect. And they were not perfect. But that doesn't change what Paul said. You need to strive on towards the high calling, the prize of the high calling of God. Philippians is a great letter. It really is. It's a great letter. So I don't know how many of you, some of you, if you will take, Michelle likes Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune, old Pat Sajak comes out and he says, get your devices. So if you've got your devices, I want you to get your devices out and look up, Google it however you want to do it, look up t-shirts, something like t-shirts with Philippian scriptures on it. And as you find one of them, share it. Read it. What does it say?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Okay, that's one of them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some more? Now, there's a bunch of them. I looked them up before I came in here. It's your turn now. What's some more of them? Or what's your favorite things out of Philippians? What's your favorite scriptures? It's one of the most that you see t-shirts, scriptures on, or if you go to Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge or someplace where they have the little plaques that you set in the house. So that one, right, Philippians 4:13. What's another one?
Philippians 4:8.
What is it? Okay. There's another one. There's some more that are real popular that we think of a lot. Someone else? And again, I say rejoice, right? All right. Another one. What you got, Sherry? All right. Someone find another one? There's several more. But you get my point, right? It's a very positive letter. I don't know how many times that you have read the Philippians, but if you're down a little bit, read Philippians, because Philippians tells me and you how we should be, and a very positive look. So now, looking at Philippians chapter 1, I want us to actually look at chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And we're going to find out that this is one of the key verses, these are the key verses to the letter. And this is what we need to get. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Somebody please read. And that's the key to Philippians, that we transform into Christ. That our citizenship is in heaven. Why? Because we're in Christ. Our citizenship is already in heaven because we are in Christ. And in Christ, you will see it several times through this letter. Because we are in Christ, our citizenship is in heaven. Transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory. We are nothing. Christ is everything. And how we glorify God is by being in Christ and conforming to Christ and his image. And that's the key message that he wants to get across to the Philippians. Now, again, remember we talked about the difference in the letters. So he does a lot of praising. So what do we have to watch when we receive a lot of praise? Is to be humble. And so he praises. We have to really work on. So that's, he praises, praises, praises. And he's saying the key is that everything that you've done, Philippians, in the name of Christ, is to the glory of God. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, Timothy, the bondservant of Christ Jesus, to all the saints. Someone else has a different word than saints?
Servants.
Do what?
Holy people.
Yes. Who's that? Who's that, Greg?
That's slave.
Yeah, under bondservant of Jesus Christ to all the saints. Is it?
Everybody.
Okay. So it's holy ones. Do we like referring to ourselves as holy ones? Huh. But are we? Almost like, I'm not worthy of that title. But who gives us that title? Christ. Christ says we are holy ones. Why? What was the key phrase, remember? What we're going to read over and over? Because we're in Christ. Christ is the Holy One. If we're in Christ, he says to the saints, to the holy ones in Christ Jesus. We are holy in Christ Jesus. That carries a lot of weight with it, a lot of responsibility with it, that I and you to answer to that Holy One. Who are in, and he ends the letter with the same phrase. He'll come back to that. He calls them holy ones in the very beginning and at the end of it. And that's on purpose. That's not by accident. Holy ones. Grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all remembrance of you. Good memories. And he thanks God for the memories that he has of them because very positive. Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Participation is what I have in the New American Standard. Someone else has something else.
Partnership.
Partnership. Fellowship. And I like the word partnership best. It best, in my opinion, fits the Greek. It is a partnership. He is speaking to a partnership. See, we kind of take the word fellowship and say, okay, we went to a fellowship. We had a fellowship meal. But not necessarily do we think of it in the same way as a partnership. So the Greek word has this idea of a communion, a partnership. And you know how D.Mar Elam, when he comes here, how he says that, and he talks about the Philippines, and he says what? He said, this is your fruit, that you had a part in that. So let's look. Let's look. Where D.Mar gets that. You know, he follows the Pauline principles. Look at chapter 2, verses 29 and 30. Well, let's back up to verse 25. Chapter 2, verses 25 through 30. Someone please read. Where did you read to? Okay, it's verse 30. All right, your translation is different. Mine, I got lost. All right, so look at verse 30. Mine has, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service. What was deficient in your service. He's speaking this. Remember I told you, we kind of maybe look at this and we say, wait a minute, here you're bragging, and now he's saying, hey, we're deficient. He's looking, again, remember we're looking and we're understanding where this is coming from. So he's saying that he was deficient. So now look at chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Somebody please read. Chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. See the partnership? They couldn't make that trip, but Epaphroditus had the ability to make the trip, to bring that gift to Paul. They were deficient, saying they didn't have the means to make the trip, or they couldn't make the trip. So they got Epaphroditus to make the trip. So we see the partnership. Chapter 1, we see him talk about now, chapter 2, where he's talking about that now they're concerned for him. They got to know him, and they sent him to Paul. He made it work. So when Demar Elam is saying to you out here, saying you had fruit, it's your fruit. That's not just fluffy words. That's what Paul is saying right here to the Philippians. They're saying that's your fruit. It's a partnership. You prayed for me. You defended me where you were in the gospel. And then you sent by Epaphroditus a gift to me. And then they cared for Epaphroditus. So fellowship doesn't quite get it. Partnership, sharing, the word sharing. This was all shared among this family. Again, this is what we want to hear. This is the things that we want to hear about us at Florence Boulevard. All right, back to chapter 1. Any comments? Okay, verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Who's the he? Who's the he? How do you find who the he is? Okay, you go back up in the scripture to the what's called the antecedent, the first thing that agrees in name and number. So let's go back up. Let's back up through. And we're looking for he. What I mean by name and number, male versus female, number, them versus he, one versus more than one. So name and number, and we come up to verse 3. God. And probably a key should have been that he was capitalized, the H was, in a lot of versions. But that's what agrees. It's not. Okay, so you go back to your what agrees in name and number, and there's no other he in there. So you, the first one that you come to that agrees, and that would be God. God is who began the work. It was God. In you will perfect it until the day of Christ. Who gives the increase? God gives the increase. It's not us. And he's making it clear to them that it's God. There's where his confidence is. I am confident of this very thing, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it's only right for me to feel this way about you, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. So he talks about two things there. He talks about his imprisonment, and we talked about already how that he gives them, they send him a gift. That's the physical, and they are also spiritually partakers of grace. Where does grace come from? God. His grace reaches me. God. And he says we share this partnership together. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in the real knowledge and all discernment. Notice he says how their love abounds. It abounds in knowledge and discernment, not in emotion. It doesn't abound in emotion. It abounds in knowledge and discernment. Knowledge and discernment. God's knowledge of God's will and the discernment applying it. That is knowing, asking God to give us the wisdom to understand His love, not our love, His love, and how to apply that. And that participation is where we get like one week, that we take that love, and we just don't say that we love, because God expressed His love and continues to express His love. And so that participation is when we act out God's love to our fellow man. You know, James says, you see somebody in need and you don't tend to that need. We must tend to that need. For God is my witness. So that you may be approved the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Christ Jesus. And that means righteousness. Living right. Doing the right thing. Making the right choices. To the glory and praise of God. Not to our glory. Not to our praise. That everything that we do, everything that the Philippians done. Remember I told you that the theme was humility, teaching humility. And he even go further and deeper, much deeper in that. And he explains the humility of Christ. That it's not to our praise. It's not to our glory. It's to the praise and glory of God. Anybody got any comments or questions? I think we've run out of time. I appreciate your attention. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. We're thankful everyone could make it out tonight for our midweek Bible study. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad you're here. We hope that you'll take a minute, stay afterwards, get to know us, and what we're all about here at Florence Boulevard. We ask that everyone please continue to pray for the sick, grieving, and shut-in. I just have a few announcements tonight. First of all, ladies, if you have signed up to go to the Trash Pandas game this Friday, you'll be leaving the church parking lot at 5 o'clock p.m. If you have any questions, please see Sherry Sons. If you have not paid, money is due tonight. There's also two tickets that have been given back. So if you're interested in going, there's still two tickets. See Miss Sherry about that. Also, if anyone is interested in teaching adult classes only the next two quarters, please go see Caleb Sampson, and he can hook you up with that information. Lastly, we have been given a great opportunity this upcoming Sunday. I've got a list of about 17 Heritage students. Some we're already familiar with, some who it'll be their first time in this building Sunday. They're going to come worship with us. We're going to feed them Sunday night. Please get to know them. Reach out to them. Give them the Florence Boulevard welcome. I also want to make sure that all of our college students know that they're invited to that meal as well. We're going to eat pizza, play games, and that includes all of you who are new to the college age group. If you graduated back in May, we'd love to have you get to know us a little bit and what we're about in the college group. That's all our announcements tonight, and we'll now begin our song service.
Good evening. Before the devotional, we'll sing a couple of songs. The first one is Heaven Came Down. We'll sing the first and third verse. Song before our devotional will be number 147, I Stand Amazed. If you will, let's stand for this song.
I stand amazed in the presence.
I needed to get somewhere, so I walked out. Hopped in my grandma's car and was about to start up and go. And I am not a ritually early person. If Myron Crunk were here, he'd be all over me because he gets here an hour early every Sunday morning. I go in just enough time to get there, except I have a push button start in my vehicle, hop in, sit down, close the door. It's the funniest sound. I'm getting chuckled up saying it now. So, had no idea it was coming. Car wouldn't start. Call Brianne. Babe, car's not starting. She's like, all right. I was like, but let me just see if Sonya has some jumper cables. Sonya didn't have any. Church buses didn't have any. I walked through all the closets, didn't have any. I'm like, where are my jumper cables? It's pathetic. I don't have any, Brian. I'm sorry. So Brianne gets here. Both of our jumper cables are in her van. I get mine, jump it up, move on. 2 days later, guess what? Same thing happens. Battery, bad. Still didn't get it fixed. Today, I'm out to eat at lunch. Drive here, there, everywhere. I'm leaving the restaurant, about to go somewhere. Dead. So I have to go to O'Reilly's. Head over to O'Reilly's, get a battery. Talking with this guy, and his last name is Moody. First name, Kevin Moody is his name. He comes out, he's helping me, and he's putting this battery in. I'm like, man, isn't that crazy? You never see it coming. Battery, dead. I was like, are you a believer in God? He said, sure. I was like, isn't it wild? We'll never see it coming. Boom. Then Jesus is going to come back. Are you ready? What if one of you walks out tonight, you hop in your vehicle, dead? Did you see it coming? Did you have any idea? Were you expecting it? No, no, and no. But could it happen? Yes. Same goes with Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1, listen to me, verse 4, give attention to me, verse 7, listen to me, verse 9, awake, awake, verse 13, have you forgotten the Lord, verse 17, wake yourself, verse 21, therefore listen to this, chapter 52, verse 1, hear, hear, and I think you get the point. Sometimes God's people need to wake up because He's coming. And are you ready? Now, if we live with the mentality that He's coming and you must be ready, evenings don't become doldrum, they become anticipation. Mornings don't become a drag, they become great energy and excitement. Not only His mercy is new, but there are new opportunities for Him to come. But I have to ask you this, if He is coming, who are you telling? If you received great news that some sickness has been healed and gone and is remedied and away from your body, wouldn't you call someone up and tell them immediately? You would. Who are you telling about the Lord that's coming? Because He is. So maybe in the middle of the week, the problem is not you're not telling somebody else. Maybe the problem is you aren't thinking about it and you're not ready yourself. And so tonight my message is this. Wake up. Wake up, hear the Lord, listen. Have you forgotten the Lord? Hear, people. He's coming. And we must be ready. So we gather with a simple message to exalt and honor the Lord our God. But we also have the privilege to be the people of the Lord our God. And if we as His people can help you be ready for the return of the Lord our God, we want to do that tonight. Don't let anything hold you back. Take this moment seriously as it might be your last. And we offer an invitation because we want you to be prepared for eternity. So if you can be prepared in some way and we can help you with it, let us know. And I need to say this. If you're not a Christian, I'm not going to tell you what you need to do. I'd like to tell you what has already been done. Jesus died for you. What love. And if you want to talk about that, I'll be up here waiting. Let's stand and sing.
I bring my sin to Thee.
seated.
Our sister, Angie Threed, has come, and she has said she doesn't want to be that person that leaves tonight and something happens and she's not right with the Lord. So she's going to confess.